The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just 3 days to go until Scotland are in World Cup action against Haiti. Aaron Hickey says he's excited at the prospect of linking up with Ben Gannon-Doak down the right, and Stephen Welsh seals his move to Swansea City after terminating his Celtic contract. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Jim Duffy, and I would say that out of all the Super Scoreboard pundits, when it comes to Scotland supporters, I reckon you're right up there, Jim Duffy. You must be loving the build-up to this.
I am, and I'm obviously jealous of the fans that are going yesterday, today, on their way over to the States. You know, my nephew's went over with some of his friends. You know, absolutely. You, as everybody knows, it doesn't come around very often, 28 years. So it'd have been a brilliant trip. Obviously, we know all the various hurdles you've got to cross to get there. But nevertheless, Scotland to get there, I think there's definitely more optimism, I think, this time around, Andrew. There seems to be a little bit more relaxed atmosphere around about the Scotland camp. Even Steve Clarke himself seems a little bit more relaxed, and he's making statements like, you know, we're going to have a bit of a go. And I think that's all really we want. I think we, as fans, we just want the team to go over there and really give everything to try and get out of that group. With the way it's set up this time round, 8 of the third place teams can get through, then the first match against Haiti is got to be, you know, absolutely, we've got to give it absolutely everything. If you win that game, there's every chance that may be enough to get you to the next round. So, yeah, absolutely excited about it. Can't wait to the weekend. It kicks off for Scotland. Obviously, it kicks off tomorrow with Mexico. But brilliant. Looking forward to it.
Where do you think that more relaxed atmosphere comes from? Do you think that is Steve Clarke and the players learning from the past couple of major tournaments, those European Championships? Is it because it should be technically easier to get out the group? Is it because, you know, the easiest game on paper comes first?
I think it's because, I'm only guessing here, Andrew. I think a part of it is because we qualified such a long time ago. I think there's been enough time to enjoy it. Previous campaigns, a lot of times it's been last minute, you know, the penalty competitions, you know, just you know, really everything was right up to the final seconds to qualify. And then once we'd done that, then I think it was almost as if, oh, we've achieved something, we've actually got there, rather than when we get there, can we achieve something? I'm not sure if that's how it's perceived within the camp, but this time around, I think that the players have really enjoyed it, obviously in the manner in which we've done it, you know, the spectacular goals in the Denmark game. I think that the amount of positivity that generated within the nation itself, not just in the football, just in general, you know, I mean, I think it was just such a feel-good factor. And I think the players have been allowed to do that, to really enjoy it. And I think that plus the fact that they've been together, a lot of them have been together now with the manager now for you know, a good 5 or plus years now. Many of those players have been in and around the squad. So I think there has been a harmony developed over that period of time, a friendship. There's a lot of experience now in that camp, a lot of caps as well. So I think that's part of the reason why there seems to be a little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere about that, a more of a club feel about the group now.
0141-951-1025. Just 3 days to go until Scotland are in action against Haiti, so get your calls in. We want to know how you're feeling about it. Are you confident? Do you think Scotland can make history and get through the group? We've watched the last couple of friendlies. They've gone well. What have they told you about Steve Clarke and his team? Who should play? Who maybe shouldn't play in this first game? Just how important is it with the two tougher games coming up afterwards? And we want to hear all your stories about going to America. Do you have tickets? How are you getting to the States? What does it mean to you that you have this chance to go over for the first time to a World Cup in 28 years? Looking forward to hearing all those stories across the week. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Of course, we don't completely park domestic matters because in this part of the world, it means so much to everyone. One of the bigger stories today is that Stephen Welsh has sealed a move to Swansea. We knew last week that it looked as if his Celtic contract was going to be terminated a year early. He's now gone to Swansea. Has it surprised you the way that that's played out, that he's been allowed to leave a year early, given the fact he had such a good season for Motherwell? Or do you think it's now just a natural parting of ways for the player and the club?
I think for the player himself, I think he's probably looked at it and thought, well, there's been enough opportunities, different managers, and he hasn't quite managed to grasp that place at Celtic. Played a number of games, a top professional, still a young defender. But if I think that, like a lot of players, and I remember myself many years ago, of course, when you go and you experience regular first team football, and I know he was in Belgium as well, so you get that taste of it. You don't want to go back and sit on the bench all the time. So I think he's had that taste at Motherwell. He did very well with Motherwell. There may have been an argument, could they bring him back and be part of that squad, because Celtic were very thin on the ground in centre-backs last year. Really only had two, really, didn't they? Austin Trusty and Liam Scales, really. But it seems as if Martin O'Neill still went absolutely getting rubber stamped. But and if that is the case again, maybe Martin's just thought, listen, I'm going to be bringing other players in. And Stephen's thought, best for my career to move on. Moving to Swansea, a very progressive club, a good opportunity for him down south. And as I said, again, it's for the player, I think it's a really good move. I know some Celtic fans are thinking could have been some sort of deal done with maybe Maswanisi, maybe some sort of player exchange, and you know, maybe some finance going. But I don't think Motherwell could get anywhere near the deal that Swansea would be offering.
It's
the
nice
player.
In theory for you know, Celtic supporters to say, can he be used in a make weight for any type of deal? But if he's got an English Championship club offering him thousands of pounds a week, you're not going to be able to force them to take a deal that's going to be way less than that, are you?
No, that's what I'm saying. There's no way that Motherwell could compete with that. I'm sure Motherwell would have loved to have kept him on, regardless, the manager leaving. But realistically, that wasn't going to be feasible. I think it's a good move for Stephen Welsh. I think he's been a really good player for Motherwell last year. I think he's been an important squad player for Celtic over the last few years. But I think for his own career, he now wants stability. And I think he's got that, where a club down south in the Championship want him, and he's wanting to go there and push himself on. So good luck to him.
Let's speak to Gary, who is in Blantyre. Gary, how much are you looking forward to the World Cup kicking off?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Jim.
Hi, Gary.
You're both well. Buzzing. Jim said there, it's been, 6 months, 7 months for qualification. So, I do think, again, Jim's quite right in his point, that before it's been like the victory was getting there, because it was like playoffs, penalty shootouts. There's a different vibe this time, and I think a different approach for Steve Clarke, to be honest with you, in terms of kind of going for it, but probably tempered a wee bit when it comes to Morocco and Brazil. But good to get that first win, and like you say, probably gets you through if you have a handsome enough win. So yeah, I'm actually flying over tomorrow, can't wait.
Brilliant. What's your route, Gary? Is it straightforward, or is it planes, trains, automobiles?
Nah, it's not too bad. It's Glasgow, Reykjavik, Boston. So and then we're getting picked up in Boston by a friend who we're staying with for the week. So it's not as kind of planes, trains and automobiles as a lot of other people will be, I suppose. But I can't wait to go. I'm actually just about to steam my kilt for the over. I'm going to be wearing my kilt flying over.
Yeah, listen, you go there, you're playing a kilt competition, Gary. That's what it is. Are you going to make sure it's in good order? That's for sure.
Well, I was ex-military, so my kilt was always of a high standard.
Ah, good, of course, I. Yeah, your ex-military, it's got to be in pristine condition. There's no doubt about that.
What I like for a lot of Scotland fans going over is it's potentially the easiest packing job of all time. Kilt, six Scotland tops,
you don't need
wear them in
boxers.
Rotation. Yep, exactly. save room on them. Gary, just in terms of the ticket situation, have you got tickets for any of the games?
So, we actually leave Boston next Thursday night, so we're back in Glasgow in time for the second game. So I'll only be there for one game, but actually, another friend that we met a few years back in New York, who we became friends with, they're from Boston, and He's got his own construction company and he's managed to get me two freebies, I think it is, he's got me. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, so I'll be at the game. And I say, I was 18 last time we qualified in France. And if I thought it was going to 28 years before the next time, I probably went to France. I'm no risking leaving it 28 years. I'll be 74 if I'm still thinking of it. So let's get this done. Get it off the bucket list.
That probably has just made it more special for people with... You just never know when the next World Cup is going to come around. So Gary's heading over there. He's lucky enough to get tickets, but there'll be thousands of Scotland fans going over there who won't have tickets. But it's about going over, soaking up the atmosphere, the memories that they'll make, that they'll still talk about. We've had people on the phones talk about World Cups that happened, you know, 30, 40 years ago. They have the memories of that. People will talk about this summer for decades to come.
Yeah, I mean, some people go with their families, you know, their kids and all these kind of things. Some of them, you know, had went with their kids, you know, many, many years ago. And obviously they're growing up now and they're going on their own. You mentioned, you know, even myself living in Scotland, we used to go to all the games. I think I've said this many times in the programme. I used to take my daughter Kim when she was a wee girl, and we used to always say, oh, if we get to a World Cup, we'll go. And we never got there. I mean, she's a grown woman now, you know what I mean? So it's one of those situations where, yeah, I mean, like Gary, you know, you wait that long and you might not get. I mean, we're not a country, sadly, who's done as well as we'd have liked to have done. So you never know the and obviously the next, you know, the World Cups are coming up, depending on which countries are in and all the kind of difficulties it brings. This is an occasion I think that the Tartan Army will absolutely thrive on it, and I think they'll be welcomed by, particularly in the America. Scots are obviously get a real connection with the Americans. I love the Scots, so I think they'll go over there. They'll make it a party atmosphere, and whether they're at the game or in the fan zones or in around about Boston or New York, I'm sure they'll be made to feel very welcome.
Are we going to do it, Gary? We're going to create history. We're going to get through the group.
I may be stupidly confident, but I think the qualification campaign and then, I mean, the last two games, granted, Curaçao and Bolivia. Bolivia beat Brazil and Colombia in the qualifying, but the way we beat Bolivia, I think, was really impressive. They just seem to have a wee bit of, I don't know if it's the shape they went to with the two up front, but yeah, listen, just let's go out and get Haiti beat. Let's just get that done. But I am confident we'll get through the group.
Have a great trip, Gary. Hope it goes well and you enjoy it and have that victory in that game. That's the most important thing. But I think you said there, we've got to go with all guns blazing against Haiti. We've got to.
Because it's a strange situation where almost the first game is kind of make or break, almost, because not definitively, but certainly for people's optimism and chances, if Scotland don't beat Haiti, then I think a lot of people will think, well, that's it, the whole thing's knackered. Whereas if Scotland go out, put in a good performance, beat Haiti, Scotland are in such a strong position to get through.
But the other two teams as well, you know, with Brazil and Morocco, they puts a wee bit of pressure on them, you know, and that's what you've got to do. You've got to do your job, but put a little bit of pressure on the your opponents or your you know that are playing in them next. And I just think that, you know, people get on about, yeah, they've got some good players, they've got this, they've got that, and I'm not saying that we're one of the top teams in the world, but we're not saying that, but we're better than Haiti, and I think we've got to go and show that, and that's the reason why I think there's a slightly different mentality now. It's, you know, we can't underestimate anyone, but we have to make sure that we go there and be as positive. I don't know if you go out now 4-4-2 that he's played in the last couple of friendlies.
I don't think so.
I'm not quite sure. I think he might temper it a little bit with one winger and kind of a little bit lopsided, if you want to call it that. Maybe Gannon Doat or maybe Finlay Curtis on one side, and then it'd be, you know, obviously McGinn and McTominay and either Kenny McLean or Ryan Christie is the other one. So I think that'll be the midfield, and then it'll be Shankland and Ian, other whether it's Shea Adams or whether it's Hurst or whether it's Lyndon Dykes up front, or it could be McTominay just behind Shankland. But I don't know if he'll go quite as open as the two wingers. You know, he might just think, well, it's time to go for it. And I think most Scottish fans would love to see that, particularly in the first game.
Thank you to Gary. Safe travels. I'm sure we'll hear from you over the next few weeks. Hopefully we will. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from Aaron Hickey, shall we? Because he's been speaking at Scotland's base camp in North Carolina in the past hour or so. And he's been talking about the injury issues that he's had over the past couple of years and how missing out on the Euros affected him.
Yeah, I think it's one of the hardest things, being injured as a footballer. It's I can't tell you how hard it is, and obviously missing out on the tournament, the Euros last time was very difficult, but no, I'm just delighted that it's in the past now and we're here at the World Cup. Yeah, I think definitely makes you stronger mentally. Now that I'm here, sitting here, thinking back about how hard it was, it was tough times, but now I'm happy to be here now and try not to focus on the past and focus here.
Brian is in Moss Park. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. I also like talking about the Cup. The point I want to make is, who have I Norway about us not playing that game against them? I don't know. It don't seem to be reported on the radio. But apparently when Morocco played Norway, two Moroccan players are actually injured, and which may be beneficial to us. So I think we also done the right thing by dodging a bullet playing them, because I think they were a bit overzealous in some of the challenges.
Yeah, we touched on this the other night. I have no idea whether that is anything to do with the reason why Scotland decided not to play the game against Norway. Norway certainly did, Morocco picked up a couple of injuries in that game against Norway. There could be a multitude of reasons why Steve Clarke's decided not to play that game. It could possibly be that the two friendlies that Scotland played, Curaçao and Bolivia, that he feels he maybe got everything he wanted out of those matches. He also talked about the fact that Billy Gilmour, such a big loss to the group, and Scotland, if they've got everything out of those two friendlies, there's maybe no point in risking it by playing another game just a few days out from the World Cup opener.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised when I heard they were actually playing Norway, have to be honest with you.
I think it was something that the SFA weren't overly keen to even publicise at first. I think it was,
it was
organised
going to be a closed
between
game. I get that, but I think when you've taken so many players over with you, you can organise it within your own group, you know, and they bring some young players over as well, and you know, they can beef up the group to play 11v11 if you wanted to do that. So it's not a big surprise to me, Brian, that they cancelled it. I don't know whether it's because they were overzealous or because, you know, they are a physical side, I understand that, but I think it's more in line with what Andrew said there. I think we've had two very good prep games. Probably he's looked at it and thought, yeah, that looks okay, I don't need to really look at too much else. Sometimes when you play these kind of bounce games, you give yourself more headaches than you actually need, because they maybe underperform, because they are going to get through the motions a little bit, they're not wanting to get injured, they're so close, so players are much more likely to get an injury because they don't go in with full commitment, and sometimes when you dip your toe in, that's when you get injured. But they can't give 100% in that game, so I just think it would have been a waste of time anyway. And I think maybe in hindsight, Stevie's realised that and just thought, two warm-up games, went well, scored goals, two positive results, stay with the positivity. The group, as I mentioned earlier on, is a very experienced group, a lot of caps in there. He's not going to find anything that he doesn't already know about this group. That's for sure, playing against Norway. So just step away from it. Give whatever reason you have to give. And as John McGinn said, the most important thing is Scotland's preparation and allow Norway to deal with their preparation.
You feel the squad are now in good shape going into this first game, Brian?
Of course, I was quite impressed with the last two games. But my point wasn't necessarily. My point was that I think we dodged a bullet. And I don't think, I didn't see any advantage in playing Norway. I mean, they don't play the same style as any of the teams are going to play. So, my point being, I think we were quite fortunate to avoid it. But another point I'd quite like to make, if you don't mind, is, I mean, Steve Clarke's done great getting to us these qualifications. But we're waiting there, and it's been like a wet damp cloth. And we're basically just no tried. He's basically no one to be humiliated. I think he has come out and said that we're going to go, I wouldn't say gung-ho, but we're going to actually be more aggressive than have been in the past, which has been very disappointing to see Scotland get to tournaments, and that's the way we've been out and played.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we all want that, Brian, and we all agree that we want to give every opportunity to try and qualify for the next stage. You know, the tournament has made it a situation where, as I say, the 12 winners, 12 teams will go, sorry, two teams from each group to make it 24, then the eight best run third places. So there's opportunities there, and this is as good an opportunity we've got with the current players we've got, with the experience we've got in the Euros as well. And I think also the disappointment, you're right, there was major disappointment, particularly the last time in Germany, that we really, you know, were very insipid, you know, powder puff, you know, really in terms of, you know, the games. So I think everybody's learned from that, I'm sure, including the manager. Manager's got a new deal as well. So I think for him, you know, he's going to want to show that he's learning, like all managers do. The players have learned, and that we're going to go and be you know, have a much more attacking methodology towards these games.
Thank you to Brian. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The Pundits are running away with things in the Summer League so far. 9 wins for the Pundits, just 2 wins for the Callers. You could be up against Jim Duffy next. Do you have what it takes to beat him? Ring 0141 951 1025 during the break, and you can play him next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been talking all things Scotland, of course, building up to that massive game against Haiti bright and early on Sunday morning. I'll tell you a bit later about the Super Scoreboard plans for the World Cup over the next few days. And we want more of your calls. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're heading out to America. You want to tell us all about your plans. Maybe you're feeling optimistic about Scotland's chances, or pessimistic. You can let us know. And maybe you've got some thoughts on club football, of course, because Stephen Welsh has completed his move to Swansea after terminating his Celtic contract. I see Rangers linked with a couple of players today too. So any thoughts on that, give us a call and let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How are you feeling going into this? Confident, optimistic?
I'm not sure really. It's one of those ones where when you have that summer, you kind of switch off sometimes football, other than the World Cup a little bit, but most of the other stuff you kind of switch off from. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of information I've picked up in the last few weeks.
Alan in Rutherglen, how are you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling good, thanks.
You feeling you can beat Jim Duffy?
I think so, yeah. My son says it's okay if he helps. He's 18, so all right.
Oh, that's absolutely fine. As long as you're giving me the answers, Alan, he can help you out. That's no problem at all. If it was Gordon DL sitting in here, he'd be kicking up a fuss about the fact that you've got some help. But it's totally fine. It's within the rules. It's all good. So it is 30 seconds on the clock for you, Alan, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, all good, yeah.
Sorry, I'll just say I'll put something else in the ear of Jim Duffy. Can you hear me, Jim? All good? Right, we're fine. Jim can't hear me. 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. Stephen Welsh has joined which English Championship side?
Swansea.
What nationality is Tochi Chukwuanyi?
Pass.
How many players in the Scotland World Cup squad play in the English Premier League?
4.
Which Hearts player made their debut for Greece on Sunday?
Pass.
What bird is on the Inverness Cali Thistle badge?
Eagle.
Who won the World Cup last time it was hosted in the USA?
Brazil.
Who wears the number 7 for Celtic?
Sure.
Okay, we will bring Jim Duffy back in. All good?
Yep.
The only confusion there was because I realised I hadn't told the producers to put something else, but they were ahead of the game. They knew.
Okay. I was a bit loud, so I wasn't 100% sure, but anyway, that's fine.
What, the music that was...
the music guy.
You weren't having it?
Oh, no, it was a very old school Northern Soul song, which I quite enjoyed.
But just anyway, too loud?
Just a bit loud, that was all.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Jim Duffy. Let's go. Stephen Welsh has joined which English Championship side? What nationality is Tochi Chukwuanyi?
French.
How many players in the Scotland World Cup squad play in the English Premier League?
7.
Which Hearts player made their debut for Greece on Sunday?
Kizaridis.
What bird is on the Inverness Cali Thistle badge?
Eagle.
Who won the World Cup last time it was hosted in the USA?
Italy.
Okay. Alan, how do you feel that went?
I think it's quite close. Maybe a draw. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it is tight. We will go through them. Stephen Welsh has joined which English Championship side? We mentioned that early on. It is Swansea. You both got it. So one all to kick things off. What nationality is Tochi Chukwuanyi? Neither of you got it. He is Danish.
All right.
So it remains one all. How many players in Scotland's World Cup squad play in the English Premier League? Alan went for 4. You went for 7. The answer's 8. I think 7 would have been right in the initial squad, wouldn't it? And then Tyler Fletcher came in and made it 8. So it remains 1-1. Which Hearts player made their debut for Greece on Sunday? The guys didn't get it, but Jim did. It is Alexandros Kizaridis. So 2-1 to Jim Duffy. What bird is on the Inverness Cali Thistle badge? You both said eagle. You both got it. So it's 3-2 to Jim Duffy, who won the World Cup the last time it was hosted in the USA. You went for Italy. The guys went for Brazil, which is correct.
Three.
So it's 3-3. That was the end of the road for you, Jim Duffy. The guy's got one more question in. Who wears the number 7 for Celtic? Who's your team, Alan?
Celtic.
So probably no surprise that they went for Jota and got it. They snatch it right at the death. It is a 4-3 win for the guys. Congratulations.
Well played, Jim.
Yeah, well done, well done.
What was the share in answers there between you and your son, Alan? Who was pulling their weight and who wasn't?
I think it was even, but my son's really good with the numbers there. I knew if he paid the number, he would have got it. He's really good with that.
There we go. Congratulations to the guys. It is a 4-3 win for them, and it is a defeat for Jim Duffy. A bit rusty in the,
definitely
in the summer season.
Rusty, aye. But the World Cup one is one of those ones where as soon as you can think back to America, then you think, because I actually remember, now that I say it, I think I remember Italy having a couple of bad penalties, like Del Piero or something, blowing one over the bar and stuff like that. But
Baggio.
Yeah, it's all Baggio. You're right, Roberto Baggio. So it's all
Alan's
all about
just trying to one up you. Not even
yeah,
doing the
right.
quiz anymore.
No, he's right. It's all about getting it done quickly, and they deserve to win. No problem.
Brilliant. Congratulations, guys. You will get a signed ball on the way to you. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Darren in Knightswood. Darren, how are you doing?
Hello, Andrew. Good evening. Hello, Jim. There. Good evening.
Hi, Dan.
I am absolutely buzzing. I'm off tomorrow morning, 3:30, heading stateside.
Oh, brilliant.
Me and my wife, my two sons.
That must be a brilliant thought to have ahead of you. What age are your sons?
My sons are 19 and 22.
So the fact that they've never experienced Scotland at a World Cup, was this just something you had to book up? You had to all make sure you were there?
We had to do it. We were at Euro 2021. Well, it was 2020, but it's 21. Then we were at Euro 2024. So this is utopia for us. I was there in 1998 with my dad, opening game v Brazil, so it'll be a very emotional time for me, thinking back. But I just can't wait to Saturday, Haiti. This is your cup final. This is a game that if we win, we'll progress. I believe in that so much, it will progress. And it'll just be great for Scotland, great for Glasgow, great for everybody.
No, I think as Darren was saying there, you know, it's a time, you know, where people reflect, but as Darren was saying, he's reflecting, you know, his dad, and he's got his kids now, you know, and obviously got his wife and that stuff, the whole family there. So, I mean, football, you know, it brings those emotions, you know, to the forefront again, and those memories. And those memories can be lifetime memories, you know, and as you said, his boys there going to the Euros and then going with your dad to the World Cup. It's something that you could talk about for decades to come. So, no, but if you win, that'll add that a little bit, make it a little bit more special to say, like, I saw Scotland winning in the World Cup, you know, and maybe even, you know, progressing. So these things are all, as I said to you, just special memories. And I think that's when, you know, you realise, you know, the significance of football, but what, you know, the country and what it can bring and brings everybody together. So yeah, a brilliant time for Darren and his family there, and hopefully Scotland do the other side of it, and they do the job on the pitch, which can transmit to Darren and all the thousands of Scottish fans that are there, and get those emotions firing again, get everybody excited, get everybody happy, because ultimately, you know, if Stevie Clark's team can do it on the pitch, then I'm sure the guys will do their job off the pitch with their support.
Have you managed to get tickets to the games, Darren?
Okay, guys, I get the $60 tickets. So I've got tickets right up to the final. The wife and the kids, they're coming home after the group games, but I'm staying on as long as I can. Hopefully the final. But
Why not, Darren? Brilliant.
It's just the squad in there, the 26 players have got in there. I've never been this hopeful and belief in them. It's just they're fighting for each other, playing for each other. Even their interviews are like, they're passionate. And I feel for Billy Gilmour obviously not being there, but it's just, it's great. It's a great time to be a football fan and great time to be a Scotland fan. For all the years that people laughed at me, even I used to take my kids to Scotland games in 2010 and pouring down rain and stuff, and now it's just that. People are congratulating me for sticking by them and wishing me well and stuff. It's great. Right.
Patience is a virtue, Darren. And if you're a Scotland fan, you've got to have immense patience, that's for sure.
Does it make it all worth it, Darren? Because as you mentioned there, I can imagine there'll have been times when you'll have been at Hampden and it'll have been terrible results and the weather will have been awful and there would have been so many empty seats, but this is what you're doing it all for, isn't it?
This is it. I remember my youngest boy, Robbie, up in Aberdeen, Gordon Stratton, first game in charge. Estonia, I think it was, 1-1-0, and Robbie crying, "Daddy, can we go home?" Just because it was freezing, peeing down the rain. Mm-hmm. Just thought Hampden v Denmark, and pouring rain, hardly any fans there. I think we drew one each. Just so many games that we've stuck through, and this is it, this is ours. And tomorrow morning, it's like, I'm just out walking and driving my car all day because I'm buzzing. I'm like a kid before Christmas.
Yeah. A coiled spring, just can't wait.
Was it tough to get your kids into Scotland from a younger age just because there wasn't that success? There maybe wasn't the same hype around the national team that there is now, or was it not that difficult?
It's like a big family, Andrew, but I always knew people, and like, see, when I used to take my kids, people made an effort to speak to my kids. So see, now that they're 19 and 22, their friends are like my friends now. They can have a beer together, they can talk to each other on social media and all that without me being there. And it's a great thing. Scotland's a great thing to bring people together. It's like a big group of friends.
It's like a football community, isn't it, Darren? I mean, people talk about the Tartan Army, but you hear so many times when they get interviewed and that they, when they travel, they meet each other, you know, for different cities, you know, people from the north, Inverness, Aberdeen, etc., meet people from Edinburgh, Glasgow, etc. It brings everybody together, and that is what you want. And that's why I feel that there seems to be, Darren, I don't know if you've got the same impression, there seems to be that factor now, that togetherness, as you say, guys want to play for Scotland, really, you know, eager to be part of that group, fighting for their positions. Yeah, that, you know, everybody, you could sense that real hurt for Billy Gilmore because of that togetherness. And I just think there's a massive connection now between the players and the fans. I think that took a long time to get back working again, get that connection again. But I think the last game in particular, obviously, or the last qualifying game in terms of against Denmark, those wonder goals, that phenomenal atmosphere, the way it was done in the latter stages of the match, I think that brought so much joy that I just think it's rubber stamped that connection, Dan.
Yep. It's all the wee kids now going to school with they'll have their face painted and stuff for really obviously for the Saturday game, but the midweek game. It's just great. It's brilliant for kids just to see their country, and these guys are role models for these kids. These are the players of the future, looking up to McTominay, McGinn, people like that, Tierney, Robertson. And it's just, I always looked up to, it was Colin Henry was my hero when I was growing up. He was my hero. And luckily, I played with Colin Henry.
He was a young boy at Dundee when I was there. So I played with Colin.
I was lucky to meet him Saturday at a 50th birthday party, just as you were saying, Jim, about a guy in Aberdeen's 50th. I was up on Saturday. I met Colin Henry at that. It's just brilliant. But they've got a boat party planned for Boston, a boat party planned for Miami. So it's just a big party.
How was it to say? No Scotland, no party.
Exactly,
no
brilliant.
Scotland, no party.
Hope you enjoyed, Darren. We'll let you go because you're up bright and early in the morning for your travels. But I'm sure, as I said earlier on, we'll continue to hear from supporters, how their memories, their journey throughout the US and potentially beyond, depending on how Scotland
when they're over there.
And their group. That's true, exactly. With Darren saying about there being role models when he was younger, I was working at a primary school World Cup event last week, and I've never seen so many kids just attempting overhead kicks for no reason, just because of the Scott McTominay factor. And John McGinn and Scott McTominay just seemed to have this this hold over the youngsters that they are now the next generation of role models, and should obviously practice the overhead kick safely, but you know, to have that iconic moment, several iconic moments for youngsters to look to, just helps get them wrapped up into international football.
Absolutely. I mean, we now at Queen's Park, as you know, in between it to Leicester Hampden, on a very rare occasion, I have to say that, Leicester Hampden, but the big mural's right above the stadium, so you see it as you go walk out in the pitch, and it's iconic, and it will be iconic for years to come, because you see young kids, young boys, young girls try to emulate it, and that's what you want. You want youngsters taking part in sport, and if the Scotland national team do well, that encourages young people to want to take part in sport, not always football, but that athleticism, that getting outside, getting active and being active, but that again, making friends, all the kind of physical health, mental health is such an important part of growing up as a kid. And you know, Scotland are now, you know, helping kids to go and enjoy football again. And I think, as you say, we all need role models. We all had them growing up, and I think there has been a wee bit of a gap But now there definitely seems to be two or three on the you know, in amongst that group now that the kids are now just kind of like latched onto. Brilliant.
Final chance to get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. And just before we go to a break, I'll tell you about this, because how well do you think you know your international football? You could take part in our free football predictor for the chance to win £1,000 of Amazon vouchers. We're looking for Super Scoreboard's smartest armchair pundit to predict how the summer's football will unfold. All you have to do is try and put every group in order, predict who'll make it through to the knockout stages, and see how you compare with fellow Scotland fans on our leaderboard. Can you call the shock results? Can you spot the dark horses? Most importantly, can you correctly predict who's going to win the whole thing? Enter now for your chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers, plus bonus prizes for the runners-up as well. Entries close a week tomorrow, so that's Friday the 18th of June at 5 p.m. You can enter now at Clyde1.com, and you can also find it via the Clyde One Super Scoreboard social channels.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final chance to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, and there is so much to look forward to this week. Of course, we're looking ahead to a massive week for Scotland, and Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live from Radio in Sucky Hall Street this Friday night. It's a Boston themed bar, so perfect for a pre-tournament party. Hugh Keevan, Scott Allen and myself will be in the building, and we will be building up to Scotland's game against Haiti. So why not head along, and you can sit with us, you can join us, you can get a microphone, you can put your point straight to Hugh Keevan, straight to Scott Allen. You can tell us about your excitement about the World Cup. We will be there from 6 till 8 on Friday night. Plus, if you're going over to the US, come along to the greatest bar in Boston. I keep needing to say this, that is the name of the bar. Yeah. I'm not just labelling it the greatest bar in Boston. It's called the greatest bar.
You're far too young to remember Cheers, which was set in Boston.
Yeah, that's before
which
my
was,
time.
Yeah, but it was a bar, which is a... It was a brilliant programme. Anyway, but I was just wondering if that was the greatest bar was called Cheers, but it's not. It's called the greatest
called
bar.
The greatest bar in Boston.
Meet Gabby there.
Yeah, on Thursday afternoon, Gabriel Antoniazzi will be there for the show, looking for your points from 1 o'clock local time ahead of the game. Then back here on Sunday morning, Clyde One Super Scoreboard will be live from the Tap Yard Social at Merchant City Square from 1 a.m. bringing you all the action from Haiti against Scotland. That is going to be a caffeine fueled night for us on air. Gordon DL and Tony Watt with me covering the game, bringing you all the action. Gabriel will be over in Boston giving you the latest from there. So whatever you're doing for the tournament, Clyde One Super Scoreboard has you covered for the lot. I am looking forward to it. Right, shall we hear a bit more from Aaron Hickey, because he was talking about his injury issues earlier on, but he was also talking about Ben Gannon-Doak.
No, it's good. It's exciting for myself as well, playing with Doakey. I think he's a good player. Young player, exciting. So I think we're still getting used to each other, what we do and how we link up, and also defensively, positions we're working on every day in training. So it's been good to get to know him better as a person, and yeah, the link up's been good. So looking forward to the games.
Yeah, quite a lot of people like the look of that down the right against Bolivia. Aaron Hickey, who, I mean, when he's on his game, Aaron Hickey, he's a real top player. He's just been so unfortunate with injuries. But if he can stay fit and he can play consistently across this World Cup, and Ben Gannon-Doak is playing in front of him and has shown the form he did against Bolivia, they could be a real threat down that side, couldn't they?
Yeah, we had major issues with injuries in the right back area. Aaron Hickey, obviously, and Nathan Patterson were injured for a long time. Anthony Ralston did a really good job. So now we've got three there. Obviously, Kieran Tierney went to right back in the Denmark game for a while, come in and scored that goal with his left foot. But yeah, I think it's an area, fullbacks, where we've been quite strong. But getting somebody like Aaron Hickey back again, I think, is because you can play both sides, obviously. Very two footed. That link up play with Ben Gannon-Doak, I think, still has a bit to go. I think Ben Gannon-Doak is exciting. He is direct. He's got pace. He's like all young players. He's not had a lot of first team opportunities due to injuries as well at Bournemouth, and he needs to just work on his final ball, final delivery. But like any you know, winger, then he's going to be a little bit inconsistent at times, and it's just adding a little bit more quality in the final third. But in terms of link up play and balance, I think it definitely gives us a better balance with Hickey and Doak on that right hand side.
Scott is in Armadale. Scott, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. How you doing, Jim?
Hi, good, Scott.
Hi. the excitement's building, you know, for the World Cup. It's always a long, you know, 3 years to the last one, especially when we're not there. But I think for, you know, a time where we've spent so long in the dark, and finally we've got that opportunity to be there and enjoy it. And it's the build-up's amazing, you know, the build-up's brilliant. I mean, I was born in 76. I vaguely remember the 82 in Spain. I can remember Paolo Rossi and the 86 World Cup. I was 10. You know, I'm watching Gordon Strachan. I'm watching the Uruguayans kick us off the park. It's just such an event that everybody, the whole country's excited about it. And I think the quality of players that we've got, and I think the momentum that Steve Clarke's built in the team, I'm really hopeful that we could have a couple of positive results and surprise a few people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you in terms of how Scotland, you know, approach this game. I don't think there's any reason whatsoever, you know, to feel intimidated by any of the opposition. I don't think the Brazil team's the Brazil team it was. They've got one of the greatest managers ever in Carlo Ancelotti. There's no doubt about that. Morocco, top African team, we know that. In Haiti, I think we're better than it. It's as simple as that. I think we should be really positive and going for it. But you know, I think like everybody, we're looking forward to the tournament from a Scottish perspective. As a general tournament, I'm a wee bit apprehensive, just simply because of the rule changes, the water breaks, the time, all these silly wee things that I didn't think they have to bring in. You know, the 5 second rule for goal kicks and throw ins and all these sort of things. I think that just, they're just trying to complicate the game too much for me. You know, so the last in the Euros, the last time, there was all of a sudden we're looking at game 10 minutes injury time. But if you had water breaks, VAR, substitutions, you know, those types of the seconds for countdown seconds for free kicks, goal kicks, etc., goalkeepers having the ball in their hands, I just think they made it a bit complicated. So I'm hoping that there is a bit of rhythm to the tournament. I'm hoping that the games can flow a bit. But I'm just no too sure. And obviously players have got responsibility as well. Still a lot of players falling down, holding their face and all these sort of things. And all that's got to stop because that breaks the play as well. But I'm a wee bit apprehensive about the tournament. But I'm very positive about how Scotland can perform.
Who's going to be the standout player for you, Scott? Who's going to step up? Is it going to be one of the obvious guys? Do you think there's someone that is really going to go out and make a name for themselves?
I think we've got to be looking at lads like, you know, Ben Doak with his pace and his trickery and that kind of, you know, final third just to open up teams, and that's going to benefit, you know, whether it's Shankland or Dykes or you know, Adams up front, even Ross Stewart, you know, that just to open it up. But Jim, just on your point about the kind of the, you know, the restrictions on the times and stuff, I don't think Scotland and even our club teams have ever been that kind of, they don't play the dark arts, you know, like your Atletico Madrid. That's these teams that are that really try and slow the games down. That's never been a Scottish, you know, that's never been a Scottish way. I think that's going to benefit us by speeding the games up.
Yeah, well, I hope the games are quicker, but as I said, I just think that because of so many rules and regulations and all, as I said, all the various things in the weather, and I just hope there's more rhythm, because I agree with you. I think Scotland's at their best when they're on the front foot, playing at 100 miles an hour, getting stuck in, so to speak. I understand you've got to have a controlled game, a controlled build up to it, and listen, the weather might dictate that, but I just think we're better when we've got a bit more rhythm to the game rather than stop start.
Well, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you to Scott. Thank you to Jim Duffy. And Clyde One Super Scoreboard goes into full World Cup mode from tomorrow. We'll be here from 6 till 8. Gordon Dalziel and former Scotland international John Spencer will be in the studio with me. As I mentioned earlier on Friday, we'll be live from radio on Sucky Hall Street. You can come along and join us, and you can put your point to Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen in person. Lots to come from Clyde One Super Scoreboard over the next couple of weeks. And up next tonight on Clyde One, it's Callum Gallagher.